Radio Talks, the German Linux Radio.
So, diesmal habe ich es auch geschafft, mein Mikro vorher anzumachen, weil das war ja die letzten Male ein bisschen problematisch. Wir haben jetzt am Stand zwei Leute von Fedora and we're switching now to English and I hope it will be okay for you and for me and for our listeners out there. So, you can also ask questions in English now in our chat room under rc.freenow.net channel router. I don't know what it is in English, Radio Tux. Okay, you guys are Max Spivak. What are you doing at Fedora? And Robert Schack?
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for letting us come on Radio Tux, even though we don't speak German. my name is Max Spivak. I've been part of the Fedora project for almost 4 years now. I spent 2 years as the Fedora project leader, and now I am the manager of Red Hat's community team.
Okay. And Robert, what are you doing?
Well, I'm packager since the possibility has been made by Red Hat. And I'm contributing to Fedora since ever. So I was a former Red Hat Linux user. And once Fedora came up, I started to contribute. And over the time, I got packager and ambassador, being here at FAIR, and also working at the translation team.
Okay, you said Red Hat. There is a connection between Fedora and Red Hat. What is the relationship?
Sure. Well, Fedora is the upstream for all of the other distributions in the Red Hat family. So everything that is built from Fedora, whether that is Red Hat Enterprise Linux or other projects that are rebuilds of Red Hat Enterprise Linux, like CentOS, or other distros that use Fedora as their base. There's a variety of Fedora remixes. People that are taking, Fedora has over 10,000 packages in its repository now, and we've got people who like to take some subset of those packages and maybe add in some of their own software that is under a different license than we're allowed to put into Fedora and create a derivative downstream of Fedora. So the Fedora ecosystem serves as kind of an upstream community for all sorts of projects, and of course one of those is Red Hat. Mm-hmm.
Are the most people working on Fedora employees at Red Hat, or how is it working?
Yeah, we actually we've done a lot of work over the last few years to answer that question, both from a statistic point of view and also from a sort of infrastructure point of view. Several years ago, we're working on Fedora 11 right now. So if you rewind all the way to, say, Fedora 5 and Fedora 6, there were two separate repositories for Fedora packages. There was something called Fedora Core. The name of Fedora, in fact, used to be Fedora Core. And there was a repository called Fedora Extras. And the Fedora Core repository was all maintained by Red Hat employees, because those were the same packages that went into Red Hat Enterprise Linux. The Fedora Extras repository was maintained by community volunteers like Robert. In Fedora 7, which was a few years ago now, we threw all of that away because it was wrong and not a very good community strategy to have a separation like that. And we threw all of that away and just made one repository called Fedora, where anybody can contribute to any package, it doesn't matter. And today, if you look at the package maintainership, about two-thirds of the packages in Fedora are maintained by volunteers. So the vast majority of Fedora is maintained by people who are not employed by Red Hat.
Okay, so there are, but is there a really strict line between Red Hat and Fedora, or you would say it's
no, I think that it's a very healthy partnership, right? Obviously, Fedora benefits from having support from Red Hat, and Red Hat contributes a lot of money or resources, which are the same as money, to Fedora. And Red Hat has engineers, for example, virtualization, right, is a technology that lots of open source upstream projects are working on. It's very important for Red Hat Enterprise Linux. So Red Hat has some engineers whose job is to all day long work on KVM. But those engineers do their work as part of the Fedora community. So if they have a feature they're trying to hit, their boss will tell them, well, your job as a Red Hat engineer is to get this into Fedora 11. So Red Hat uses Fedora as a tool for some of the development that Red Hat thinks is important. But at the same time, because the feature process for Fedora is very clear, anybody in the community can contribute any feature that they want to Fedora, and it doesn't matter who you are or where you come from.
Okay.
Robert, what are, in your opinion, what are some of the more interesting features that have been in Fedora lately from community people?
Well, in the past we've introduced Network Manager, it's a longer time ago, but we've been the first distribution doing that. We had IceT, the open source Java, which is also now a bit longer back, but to the more later things, KVM, the virtualization, for example, can be added. And for Fedora 11, we will have Presto to avoid downloading the whole RPM package at an update if just a small thing changes. That will give us the advantage, for example, at OpenOffice, which is pretty huge, to avoid users with small internet connection lines to actually download the really 20 or 50 megabytes per package.
Okay. So you aren't a Red Hat employee. So what are you doing for a living? What are you doing for the living?
What's your job?
Well, my job is working at a tiny company, which is related to computers and enterprise resource planning.
Okay, so Fedora is just your hobby?
Yes and no. I'm also using Fedora and Red Hat software at my employer. We are also contributing to Fedora very strong because it gives us a lot of benefit. And I think it's a combination of both for me.
Okay.
One of the really interesting things about Fedora contributors that we see more and more is that there are many contributors to Fedora, of course, who it is just their hobby, right? Two of our best infrastructure and websites kind of contributors. Either just finished high school or are still in high school. They're only 18, 17, 16 years old, right? And for them, this is what they do at night or on the weekend. And there's many people in their 20s like us who are volunteers to Fedora who do it after work. But there are also a lot of guys like Robert. We have contributors who work at Dell. We have contributors who work at other technology kind of consulting companies where they're being hired to deploy Linux and open source software, and they use Red Hat to do it. And these contributors, their employers realize, well, if we let this person who's working for us spend some of their time participating in Fedora, it makes their entire knowledge of the open source world stronger, and it's valuable for a company that isn't Red Hat to encourage employees to work on Fedora. And that's a really great thing for the Fedora project because it means that there's companies other than Red Hat that are paying people to participate in Fedora, which makes us even stronger.
Okay. How is the Fedora project organized? I mean, is there a leadership, is there a board or something like that?
Yeah, the Fedora project is organized with a few leadership committees, basically. At the very top, there's a leadership committee called the Fedora Board, which has 9 people on it. Five of the 9 spots are elected by the Fedora membership, right? Anybody in the community can say, I would like to run for the seat, and they might get elected. Sometimes Red Hat employees get elected. Sometimes community non-Red Hat people get elected. It doesn't matter. The other four spots are appointed by Red Hat, and also sometimes Red Hat appoints a Red Hat employee, sometimes Red Hat appoints community people. So we make sure that there's a nice balance. We make sure that it was important to us that the majority be elected and that it's open to anybody in the community. So that group sort of is responsible for the top level strategy and goals of Fedora. And then as you get down into different parts of the project, like engineering has its own leadership committee, fully elected, that handles the release cycle and the schedule and decides if we need to slip or which features are high enough quality to get into the release. This is a community group that has all its meetings on IRC, all its discussions are open, and everybody has to play by the same rules. So even if if you're a university student who just wants to put a feature in Fedora, you know exactly what the deadlines are. And at the same time, if you're a Red Hat engineer who has to put a feature in Fedora because your boss says you have to do this or you're fired, you have to follow the same deadlines, and we don't give any special treatment to anyone based on where they work or anything like that. It's one set of rules that everybody follows and that the community is in charge of maintaining.
How often are these elections?
It depends. The top level board, half of it is elected after every release. So every 6 months, half the group changes. Some of the other committees are every release or every year. It depends. It's up to them. But on the most part, everything changes at least once a year.
So you're releasing two releases every year?
That's
correct.
That's right. Fedora has a six-month release cycle. Sometimes it ends up being 7 months. But our goal is to have a release on May 1st and October 31st of every year.
Okay, so now you're planning for Fedora 11.
That's right. Yes.
Okay. And there will be a beta some weeks
right.
ago?
Right. The Fedora release process has three milestones and then the final release. The alpha was about a month ago. The Fedora 11 beta will be on Tuesday. Next Tuesday, the 24th, we'll have Fedora 11 beta, and you can download that at fedoraproject.org. And that's a really important release for us because it's after the feature freeze for Fedora 11. So the features that have made it this far are ones that we expect to have in the final release. And it's a really good time for our community that's been running Fedora 9 or Fedora 10 and know they want to upgrade. Fedora 11 beta is a good time to install it and start to see how well it's working for you and file your bugs so that by the time the final release is ready, hopefully it'll be very high quality.
Which new features are in Fedora 11?
Well, as I mentioned before, there will be Presto to avoid downloading the whole update instead of just getting the difference. We will have KVM mode setting as in Fedora 10 started already, which means if the system is booting after the grub bootloader, they are usually running many kernel messages, and afterwards, for example, some kind of graphical boot is starting.
Okay.
And with KVM, we are, instead of that, before switching already the kernel mode set, which means we have some kind of a graphical interface already before, which avoids us later in the boot process the need to switch to the X server, which takes another couple of time, and thus we will try to go down to a boot time of at least 20 seconds as far as it is possible. And we also will enhance the fingerprint support, which now really comes up with current notebooks, and which seems to be an interesting thing for users.
But also a little bit security risky, or what do you think? I mean, a password is more secure than a fingerprint, I think. So, but it's...
Well, I think it's a PAM module, right?
Yes.
I don't really know how it's implemented.
If you use your fingerprint,
right.
The fingerprint is all over your laptop, so anyone can grab some and make a copy of it and use it. But if I use a password, I think it's more secure.
Yeah, but for example, you also have the benefit, for example, if you are at an event, you always have people around you, usually. If you type your password, everybody is looking at your fingers. Instead of that, you just can use your finger and go over the fingerprint and avoid using the password at all. Because as it's implemented as a PEM module, it can be used nearly everywhere.
And you know, all the computers are starting to ship with the little fingerprint scanners, and we feel like it would be a real waste to not make them work.
That's right. Okay, which software states are in there? Which GNOME version? Which KDE version?
GNOME 2.26 will eventually be the one that makes it into Fedora 11. KDE 4.2,
yes.
The beta. It was a beta last month, and we did alpha, Fedora 11 alpha. But KDE 4.2 is what we're targeting, and also the most recent XFCE. Though I don't remember which version that is up to right now.
The kernel version?
2.26.
29, I think.
29? Okay.
Okay.
If someone goes to the download site, get.fedoraproject.org or just fedoraproject.org, you can click and see the release notes, and it'll have all that information.
And after the release, we will also update the kernel, of course, as the kernel also develops further on. So after shipping the release, you will get an update also with the latest kernel, as usual.
You also have a project, I don't remember the name, which small, something like that. The hardware configuration is sent to a server, and you...
Yes. The project is called Smolt.
Smolt, okay.
Yes, and this is a nice story about collaboration with other distros, in fact. Smolt was started by the Fedora infrastructure leader, a guy named Mike McGrath, at least a year ago, maybe more, maybe a year and a half, or even 2 years ago now. And it was created as a profiling tool to send your hardware information to a database in a way that is also anonymous. So we can't track that information back to you. And also, because we take privacy very seriously in Fedora, it was optional, right? When you did your installation, it would say, hey, we've got this tool called Smolt, and here's what it does. Would you like to participate? You know, and if so, go ahead. It's been very, very successful. Tons and tons of information has been put into the database, and it's being used in a variety of ways. First of all, it lets the engineers see which devices are most common so that we can make sure that we get good support and extra QA, perhaps, on you know, if we start to see a lot of bugs about a device that's also very popular, well, we realize, well, we better spend the time to fix that and make sure that it works. And similarly, we thought, well, there's no reason why this has to be only for Fedora. And we've been working with some of the OpenSUSE contributors, and there's a neutral website now called Smolt, S-M-O-L-T-S, smolt.org, which is sort of a non-branded to any one distribution database where Fedora and OpenSUSE people who register when they do their install, the information goes to that database, and you can see what languages are most popular, what devices are most popular, what version of the OS it's running, all sorts of good information.
Okay, maybe there will be more distributions.
Of course, I mean the code, of course, is completely open source, and any distribution could compile it. The trick is not to build a package, right? I think packages exist for it in sort of the Debian and Ubuntu world as well. The trick is that to really get people to know it exists, there's a second step, which is to kind of add a page to your installer workflow that allows someone to actually use it. If the package is just sitting there in your repository, someone would have to download it and then submit the information themselves, whereas if you put it into your installer, then the workflow is much easier for somebody.
Are you just monitoring the hardware, or also which packages are installed in the installation project?
No, just the hardware right now.
Okay, are there any plans to go further?
I'm not sure. Do you know?
Yes, there are plans, but they are in a very early state currently. Getting some information about which software is installed in order to get a bit out which software is most favored by the users. And what we are currently already tracking is the kernel version number to see which kernel is used. I think more will come over the year, and we will see where it ends.
Okay.
And I want to say once again that privacy is very important to us in these sorts of projects. So we try to be careful when we talk about these things to let people know in public on mailing lists and discussions what our goals are and what we're trying to do, and give people lots of time to think about it and comment on how we put it together and architect it so that we can respect people's privacy, but also get information, which is very valuable in decision making.
Okay, Fedora is a large project, and so are there community conferences or something like that?
Yes, Fedora does quite a few things from a kind of community point of view. Of course, coming to places like this, we try to have a presence at most of the big shows in different parts of the world. One of the things that we do special for Fedora is the Fedora User and Developer Conference. We call it FUDCon. And it takes place, the goal is to have it take place once a year in each of the big regions of the world. So we do one in North America, we do one in Europe, we do one in Latin America, and we're hoping to do one in India this year also. Since this is Radio Tux in Germany, it's a good time to let people know that the European FUDCon will be in Berlin in June in parallel with LinuxTag. So it's LinuxTag is from June 24th to 27th, and our FUDCon will be from June 26th to June 28th, a Friday to a Sunday. It'll be at LinuxTag. It's free to attend. And if you want more information, just go on Google, type FUDCon Berlin 2009, and I'm sure that the information page will be the first one that you see.
Okay. Is this a developer conference? So you go in some rooms and you're hacking together, or are you doing some slides and other can watch, or what are you doing there?
Well, it's a bit all of them, what you've asked in your question. It's a Fedora Users and Developers Conference. That means also users will attend it. At the same place, the users have also the chance to just meet the developers maybe the first time, which I had, for example, at the FUDCon 2 several years ago, which was my first real contact to Fedora in the real life. In former times, I just had contact, for example, via email and IRC. And there also will be a Hackfest, as far as I know. And we will have, hopefully, a lot of fun.
Pizza, cola, and so on, and fun. Okay, in the chat, there's a question. How do you delimit to Debian and OpenSUSE?
Sure. Well, yeah. Let's start by talking about how we're all the same, right? Which is that we're all distributions that are trying to pull together all the various things from upstream that we care about and get them to our users. I think the places where Fedora and Debian and OpenSUSE and whatever your distribution of choice is start to differ is in two ways. One is sort of whatever you decide the fundamental goals of the distribution are, right? I think it's pretty safe to say that Fedora is a fast-moving distribution, right? The goal of Fedora, more than other goals, is to show people every 6 months what the most exciting and new and innovative things in the open source world are. So we change things a lot, and we release a pretty aggressive release cycle compared to, say, Debian, which is a slower release cycle. OpenSUSE has a similar release cycle to ours. I think it's a little bit slower. I think I just read somewhere that they're considering a closer to a 9-month release cycle, which is still pretty fast. I think that one of the One of the ways that I think you start to see a difference between Fedora and OpenSUSE is by taking a look not just at the distributions that get built, but the all of the upstream contributions that are also coming from the people who are participating in the project, right? And one of the things that Fedora cares very deeply about is the amount of work that it does with upstreams. And we were talking about things like Network Manager, things like Yum, things like HAL and Device Kit and Policy Kit, a lot of the and Novell contributes as well, a lot of the things to GNOME, right? There are Fedora contributors and Red Hat engineers through Fedora that participate in tremendous amounts of upstream work, and I think that's one of the areas that, because a distro like Fedora has some corporate sponsorship where people's jobs are to work on that distro full time, that gives us a chance to have Fedora be a major contributor to upstream projects like the kernel and like GNOME as well, whereas a distro that's 100% community based probably just doesn't have enough time or people to do that. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just a matter of resources.
Okay. Do you have also a connection to CentOS? I mean, CentOS is a...
Yeah, well, CentOS is a rebuild of Red Hat Enterprise Linux. Yeah. And Red Hat Enterprise Linux, you know, we release Fedora every 6 months, and about every 2 or 3 years, Red Hat takes whichever Fedora they like. So the last time we did this was with Fedora 6. Now we're on Fedora 11. So Fedora 6 was released, and the Fedora community went off and just kept going at its high-speed pace. But in the background, Red Hat took Fedora 6 and turned that into Red Hat Enterprise Linux 5. You know, Red Hat Enterprise Linux works on a few architectures that Fedora doesn't. We do whatever other stuff Red Hat chooses to do, and that's what Red Hat supports for 7 years. CentOS takes the source RPMs for Red Hat Enterprise Linux, removes the Red Hat trademarks, adds in their own, and distributes that. So Red Hat is one level downstream of Fedora, and CentOS is two levels downstream of Fedora. So there's definitely a relationship, and there's quite a few CentOS contributors who are also Fedora contributors.
Okay.
And there's another contribution which is often, well, a bit ignored or at least forgotten, which is EPL, which is extra packages for enterprise Linux. That means the same people doing Fedora are also committing their work directly into CentOS and RHEL as an extra repository, software repository that can be added in CentOS and RHEL and has packages which are not included by Red Hat, thus not included by CentOS, but containing useful software which much enhances the use of the machines.
Right, there's like I said, I think I said earlier, there's over 10,000 packages in Fedora, and Red Hat Enterprise Linux only has about 2,500 packages, so that's only 1/4 of the total number. And CentOS is the same because they rebuild Red Hat Enterprise Linux. So there's thousands and thousands of packages that have been built and tested and QA'd for Fedora that people would like to be able to have for the enterprise Linux operating systems as well. And the EPL project that Robert was talking about makes that difference available.
Okay, I want to start with Fedora. Where can I get Fedora, and how do I install it?
Sure. Go to fedoraproject.org. On fedoraproject.org, you'll see a couple of big areas. One is how to download Fedora. You can you can also go to get.fedoraproject.org if you want to get Fedora. There's a live CD there that you can download for either GNOME desktop or KDE desktop. You stick it in your computer, of course. If you like it, you can just double-click and install directly. You can also download a full install media, either a CD set or DVDs. If you come by, if you happen to be here in Chemnitz today, you can come by the Fedora booth, then bring your USB key, and we'll make a live USB for you. And if you download the ISO yourself, you can do that yourself on your own computer. So that's how you get Fedora, pretty much the same as any other distro. If you want to contribute to Fedora, go to join.fedoraproject.org. There's a few very simple steps to create a Fedora account as a contributor. You can get yourself set up on the Fedora wiki. You can get permission to start to contribute to various parts of the project, and the sky's the limit. There's a million things we need help with, infrastructure. You can come be a Fedora ambassador and join us at events like this. If you're a designer, we're always looking for people who can help us build new parts of the Fedora website, design artwork, the artwork that goes in the distro, the artwork that goes on CD, the actual CDs and T-shirts. We need translators, so anyone listening who is interested in localization, we have a very vibrant translation project, but we can always use more help. What else? Packagers?
Yes, I think we've all big categories by that.
Sorry, what did you say?
I think we've all big categories with that.
Okay, you're a packager. How can I get? How can I? Yeah. Become a packager, for instance.
Well, it's not.
But do you do especially?
I'm packaging software and yeah. I'm maintaining it in Fedora. For example, the most used package I'm maintaining is POPT, a command line library which is used, for example, by GNOME or by RPM. So every Fedora user is using it. Becoming a packager. It's not that complicated. It just needs a bit of time, as you have to work with it to get into the process of making the package, and you also need time, of course, to maintain the package actually, and of course you need also software or at least a software which you like and which you are willing to maintain over the time frame, because it doesn't help us if you just one time commit a package and afterwards never come back. So we need the contribution over the time at that area, of course.
Yeah, so you said how I can get into Fedora. I need some documentations, or are there right. on the website a little bit?
Thank you for asking. In addition to get.fedoraproject.org and join.fedoraproject.org, there is also help.fedoraproject.org.
And docs.fedoraproject.org, where the documentation is.
Okay, and are there some books you'd like to advise for me so I can go to next bookstore, book dealer, and get a book or something like that? It's also possible. You don't know.
There's a variety of books about Fedora, but I haven't written any myself yet. The Fedora Marketing Project is working on sort of a Fedora book, but it won't be a technical book about how to configure Apache in Fedora. It's going to be a book about our community and the people who make Fedora happen. And it's a fun project because we're going to be getting the content for that at events like these, and it's going to be a lot of work done at that in Berlin at LinuxTag and FUDCon. So that's another interesting place for contribution. If there's anybody who's an open source user who does design or graphics or things like that, you don't have to be a coder to work on Fedora. There's a lot of cool stuff you can do.
Designers, everybody could participate. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, hope to see you soon.
We'll see you at Linux Talk.
Yeah, in Berlin. Okay, that were Max Spivak and Robert Schreck. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Radio Tux.
Thank you as well.
Radio Tux, the German Linux radio.
Can you say a sentence for me? So, hello, this is Max Spivak. I'm the...